This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be happy. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as the mother protects with her life her child, her only child. So with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
Okay. Okay. I have to adjust this microphone until I hear me.
Are the cushions visible?
No, it's okay. That's okay. Yeah. I think that's okay. Okay, so if I speak like this into the microphone, is it okay, or do I have to
go up?
Up.
A snake charm.
Dangerous microphone. Okay, I will just play around until I find a way to do this. I either hold it in my hand or I keep it there. My first thought here was that the chanting here was more or less the same quality as the monks in our monastery. Early morning. It's not always easy when you have kind of both men and women going to try to chant together. Anyway, my name is Nito. I'm from the Bodhiana Monastery up the road in Serpentine. As he said, I've been here for 10 years, and I'm starting a little bit to teach, and that's why we are sent down here, so we can learn to teach what we have learned ourselves. We are living in a monastery and doing this. What we are going to do here, we do that full time, year after year after year after year, so we learn a bit, and then so what we try to do is to come here and then teach what we have learned ourselves. What I want to say tonight, I have a few things to say in the beginning, and then we can try to do a little meditation, and then maybe Q&A afterwards if somebody has some questions. Last time I was here, I kind of forgot the time, so we were supposed to do like half an hour meditation, and I just disappeared, and I was sitting for 45 minutes, and I just stopped. And honestly, I thought I was only sitting here for 10 minutes in my mind, but it was 45 minutes. So sometimes when your mind is kind of getting peaceful and it's calm and there's joy, then time just flies. So that's actually a good symptom that you just forget about time. I have to go back a few weeks in the monastery. We get the background of what I want to say today is something happened in the monastery, something I saw. Maybe 2 months ago, we have this tradition that we every day we receive food from people coming and offering us food, and then we go a little alms round outside the monastery and we collect some rice, which you then take in, and we add some more food, some vegetables and potatoes and maybe some meat and fruits. But that time was really hot. I mean, it was really hot. It was, yeah. And the road we was walking on was sealed with concrete. And that concrete had been heated up by the sun for many hours. And it was so hot that then I was walking on that, and we are barefoot. We don't have shoes or sandals. You just you put it out, and then as soon as you step, you don't walk normally. You just jump. And in that line of people giving us rice, there was a lady who also was barefoot, and she was standing on the same spot, and it was burning hot. So instead of walking, she was standing, tripping up and down with one foot. It was ow, 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 while she was giving rice to all the monks. And when I saw that, for me it was like looking at the person who was dancing. And I got up this a saying, which was one of my favorite sayings when I came here 10 years ago, about dancing. So tonight I'm going to say a little bit about dancing, but not dancing physically with your body, but dancing with your mind. So maybe if you get your mind dancing, then you can do some bodily dancing afterwards. I have this, I got this from my notes many years back. It goes like this. This is like a saying which really can help you both in life and also in meditation. It gives you like an attitude which is helpful, whether it's living or it is meditating. It's the same, you can apply the same attitude and it helps. And it goes like this: life is not about waiting for the rainstorm to pass, but learning to dance in the rain. Or you can say, life is not about waiting for the rainstorm to pass, but learning about pain and stress and learning to dance in the rain. There are always rainstorms in life. There's difficulties, there's problems, there's diseases. And what lots of people do in many cases, they just run away. They hide. They don't want to face it. instead of facing it and being with it and learning to dance with the problems. But I have to say that this isn't always the right thing to do. It depends on what is going on. Sometimes there can be something happening. This is more like in normal life, which is too tough or too difficult, too much stress. Then it's right. Then it's right to hide from the rain, from the storm, and rest and find peace in that way. But if the problems are not too bad, if you can stand it, if it's okay to be with it, then you can find this attitude inside of you. I used internet and I googled two words: dancing and rain. And I found this extremely nice photo of a kid. I think it was a girl. And she was, somebody took a photo of her when she was out in heavy rain. It was really like, what I say, cats and dogs. Really like big drops of water. And she was out there in the street and just enjoying being there when it's raining. Just looking at the rain and just feeling it, touching your skin, your face, your hands, and learning to accept it and to embrace it, to be with it, and don't develop any negative emotions towards the problem, whether it's raining on your body, or it's some kind of problem you have in your life, or it's meditation. And it's the meditation which is kind of the focus today. And it's this attitude I want to kind of try to create in your mind during meditation. Because in many cases, especially when you start doing meditation and you close your eyes and now you're going to meditate, and what you see isn't all that fun. You meet all your emotions. You meet all your, maybe your dark states, your negativities, depressions and fear, worries, all the things which you don't want to be there. And that's the rain when you meditate. So in the beginning when you meditate, it's nice to have a good attitude, to be with whatever is there, whatever there is inside of you. And this attitude of this little kid, this girl or this boy, who just loves staying outdoor and kind of enjoy the rain falling on her skin and being with that. That attitude you can also use in meditation. So you can sit in meditation and you can look at what's going on inside your mind, and you can just look at it as this little curious, excited little girl who wants to play with it, who finds joy with it and can stay with it. It is joy and this positive attitude which is the glue which can keep you inside and which can calm you down, where you can find peace. So this attitude is what I will try to kind of evoke in you when we start the meditation. What you face in life, problems and good things, and the meditation, which sometimes can be difficult, you can basically call that pain or stress, or in this kind of word overused in Buddhism is suffering. That is actually what we call the first noble truth. That is what you are supposed to do in a spiritual development. You're supposed to understand and stay with and be with those things which are problematic in life. Because it's only when you stay with it and you learn to know it, that's when you start to figure out, where is this coming from? Why is there this problem? Why do you have this mental suffering or this mental stress? Why is there this, all these negative emotions? Where are they coming from? And it's only if you are willing to stay with it and be with it and learn from it that can help you to let go of it. That's the first and the second and the third noble truth. And this saying is just pointing at that. There are problems, life, meditation, whatever. Instead of running away, hiding, going to bed, sleeping away all your problems, you can choose to learn to know all those problems, stay with them, look at them, even develop joy based on them, understanding. And as you learn to understand it, and as you learn that this is actually something you want to let go of, that will lead you to let go of it. And if you don't stay with it, you will never learn to let go of it. This is also, there is a word which is used in English, and also the language I'm used to, which is Norwegian. They call it like a comfort zone. Most people have a comfort zone where you are kind of happy. When you are in your comfort zone, life is okay. And very often you hear that you're supposed to try to extend your comfort zone, so you can be kind of happy, content with more and more and bigger situations in life. So if you're able to stay with whatever it is, after a while you will find comfort. You will be comfortable in that area you're expanding into. So it's also a way of expanding your comfort zone, if you are strong enough to do it. And this last, I know this is like an attachment to the main saying. I read this from came from a monk in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition. And I'm spinning on the same thing, and he said, life starts where your comfort zone ends. When you just stay in that area, that zone, where you are comfortable, if you just stay there, you don't extend your life. You don't make your life kind of wider. You can't embrace more and more. But if you go and you stretch your comfort zone, there's kind of new life starting for you. There's new opportunities, new things you can do, new things and new places you can do where you still are happy. In the past, were you not happy doing that? But maybe now, after deliberately staying with it and extending that zone, that can be okay for you. So life is not about waiting for the rainstorm to pass, but learning to dance in the rain. So now I've been talking 25 minutes. So this, what I've said now, I'll try, when we turn down the lights, I will start by doing some guided meditation. So I will do some talking, we'll do a little bit first on the body, just focusing on your body. So you can calm down your body. And then after a while, I will see where we can try to use some of this theory about your comfort zone, but staying with whatever is in your mind, staying with that, and let everything just calm down, and see whether you can dance and stay with your meditation object. You can stay with whatever is in your mind as a little kid who just wants to explore. He or she wants to understand. Okay? So if we can turn down the light. And this time I brought a clock, so I'm not. I promise I will not keep you sitting here for 45 minutes like last time. So maybe it's half an hour is a good thing. Yeah, that's better. So first, a little bit on the body. Then I will talk you into some meditation, and a little bit into the meditation I will stop talking, and then we sit in silence for a while together, and then I will ring the gong here 3 times in about half an hour, and then we can maybe do some Q&A afterwards. You can follow me if you want to as a guided meditation, or if you know what you're doing, you can just follow your own plan. I will start by focusing on the body as a first step, which is always is really, really good and a good start of any type of meditation. So please start closing your eyes, and then loosen up everything. If you have any belts or anything which is tight on your body, just make sure that you can sit in the chair as comfortable as possible, and make sure your legs are resting nicely in one position on the floor. Maybe you need a pillow for your feet. Do whatever you want. Just find a way where your body feels really okay. So we just go through the body from limb to limb. And we start down on your feet and your toes. So as you sit here, try to put your attention on your feet touching the ground. Try to be aware of the feeling where your feet are touching the ground. Maybe you can move around a bit, your toes and your feet, and place it properly, nicely. And if you feel anything painful or tightness, and try to relax it with your mind. Give your feet the opportunity to relax all the muscles. It gets really still. And then move your attention up the lower legs, the back side and the front side. Just see to it that it's all right. There's relaxation, no tensions in the body, in the legs, lower legs. And as we go through the body, if you feel anything, any kind of tension or pain, then try to just focus on that spot where there is some tensions. And just tell it to calm down. And allow your body to calm down. And then your knees. How do your knees feel? When you're sitting, your knees can relax. They don't need to carry the burden of your whole body. So let them now, while you're sitting, let your knees be free from weight and burdens. And let your rear side take the weight of your upper body instead of your knees. Then up to your thighs. Some of it is resting on your chair. Just give your thighs some rest. Rest from walking, hurrying around all day. Now your legs, your knees, your feet can rest. And allow it to rest. Don't move any muscles. This is a time where you allow your body peace. Then further up your rear end, sitting on a chair, you can feel it touching the chair, a soft, nice chair. If there's any tension, allow it to relax. Just allow your lower body to let go. Just let go being involved in your lower body. Just let your body do whatever it wants to do itself. and further up your belly or your stomach. You can feel it go in and out. Many people have tensions in their bellies. Please set it free now for half an hour. Just let it do its own thing, breathing in and out, without you interfering, doing anything. Let it just rest. Just feel your belly going out and in. Out and in. All by itself. And you don't need to do anything. Your body knows what to do. Then higher up, your chest. All the muscles. See to that any tensions are loosened up. Let it all rest. Inside your chest, you have your heart. Can you feel it beating? That heart is a good friend. It's been your friend since you were born. And it's been pumping every second since. Just for you. send all your goodwill to your heart out of gratitude. So you can walk, live, develop, and grow. Inside your chest, you also have your lungs. Can you feel your chest going out and in and out as you breathe? Please allow your lungs and your heart and your belly to relax. They know what to do. Then your shoulders, normally there's lots of tensions in the shoulders, let them hang down, don't hold them up, let them really relax, really, really relax. and then down the arms, your upper arm and your lower arm. Let them rest in your lap. No muscles moving. And the same with your hands and your fingers. Just feel your fingers and don't move them, whatever position they now are or have. Don't move them. Let them relax with the rest of your lower body. Then up to your neck, backside of your head. Also a place for lots of tensions. Try to relax your neck together with your shoulders. Really, really loose. Try to keep your head in a position which is comfortable for your body and for your neck. Just natural. So let your legs, your lower body, and your whole upper body sit still. Then focus on your face, your forehead. Keep your eyes closed and no tensions in the face. Around your eyes. Just relax. Your mouth, either closed or a little bit open. Just see to that everything in your face is allowed to relax. Every muscle. And then around your ears, on both sides. And then your head. What's under your hair? let your whole head be without tensions. And the last part is your brain. And as we now have tried to calm down the body, the whole body, the legs, the upper body, the arms, and your head. While we keep our eyes closed, try to put your focus away from the body and just sit. Try to see what's going on in your brain or in your mind. For a couple of minutes, don't do anything mentally. Don't want anything. Don't do anything. Don't wish anything. Just look, just observe whatever is going on in your mind. See the thoughts. As they arise, and then they are there, you can see them, and then they maybe go away and there's another one coming up. See if you can. It is as if you're sitting in a movie theater and you're watching this movie. And the movie you're watching is the activity of your brain. And the only thing you need to do is to watch. There's no need to fight. There's no need to change. There's no need make it better. Because if you stop changing and making, then your mind and your mental activity would calm down all by itself, just like water in a bathtub. As soon as you take the 4-year-old out of the bathtub, who has been jumping up and down and making waves and movements, as soon as you take that 4-year-old boy or girl out of the bathtub, for a while there's waves on the water in the bathtub. But if you just stand and watch the water in the bathtub, and you don't do anything at all, nothing at all, and that water in the bathtub will calm down, and the waves will be smaller and smaller and smaller, and in the end there's no waves. And we call that for peace, joy, harmony. So as you sit now and you watch your mind, just watch this movie who's been played out in front of you. But don't do anything. Just watch the waves getting smaller and smaller. And it's now, I wish to remind you about this little boy or this little girl who is out there on the street, and it's really raining, and she's just there with the rain. You're just looking at it, feeling it. She's dancing. And that little girl or little boy who's dancing will create joy in a mind or brain which might be dark, active, restless, anxious, negative. See if you can be that little girl or that little boy. Which are inside of you. Curious, trying to enjoy the rain, feeling it, being there, but not changing the rain. She cannot control the rain in the same way as there's not much you can do with all your thoughts and all your emotions and all your fear. But you can be there. and you can learn to dance with your mind, adding in energy, joy, optimism, wishing to learn, wishing to develop, wishing to grow up, wishing to extend your comfort zones, wishing to be happy, wishing to be stronger. I will stop talking now for 5 minutes or a bit more. So please just keep your body relaxed. Put your attention on what's going on inside your mind and look at it with a joy. A little kid. I will hit the gong now 3 times. And after the third time, then please open your eyes. Actually quite nice that the light comes on very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine there was this flash of light and everything was woke up to this enormous bright light. It's really nice that it just comes little by little by little. I have this idea that when I'm trying to teach and somebody falls asleep and I start to snore, then I'm doing a good job. But honestly, imagine coming to a public place like this and you feel so safe here that you actually fall asleep just as you do in your bed. That's pretty awesome. It is. Right? It just kind of, you know, means that you're really relaxing. But of course, the idea is that when we meditate, you're not supposed to kind of lose your kind of your mindfulness or your awareness. But if your body needs to sleep, then sleep. It's like when we, the monks, when we do full-on many days retreats, because what we do now for, I don't know, half an hour, we do like 9 days in a stretch. Mm. Or even more, once a year we do this 3 months continuously. Then even we who are trying fully to live like a spiritual life in a little hut in the forest with lots of peace and tranquility, we do some chores, a little bit of work, but even when we do retreats, we need to sleep the first days. So even though we try to live really simply, just a little hut in the forest, 6 square meters, without any toilet or shower or water or power or anything, and not much distractions for our mind. Even us, when we go on long-term retreats, we need to sleep. So don't feel embarrassed if you come here and you sleep. That's supposed to happen. Okay, I will need to ask for somebody to ask a question, then I can talk.
I was intrigued by the metaphor of the 4-year-old in the bath.
Yeah.
And I was, after you used that, I was trying to think, well, what part of me is the 4-year-old?
Yeah, okay,
what
yeah.
What part of me is watching
yeah.
the 4-year-old?
That's a good question, and I can give you a good answer as well. I think so, or I can. This mother who is taking this 4-year-old out of the bathtub, the mother who just looks, that's awareness or consciousness. And basically everything else mentally is this 4-year-old. It's thinking, it's emotions, it's fear, worries, restlessness, thinking, like there's a spinning of thinking, tiredness. Basically, this I like to call it this soup we have between our ears of mental emotions and goodness knows what. What we're trying to do is to give strength to mindfulness, to awareness, to consciousness. What we do is to pacify everything mentally until you can say that all your mental energy goes into awareness. And that's where you really can wake up and you really feel that you wake up. When you go on retreat and you start using all your mental energy on thinking and planning and worrying and I don't know what, if that can be calmed down, then whatever energy you have in your brain or in your mind will go to awareness. So that is what we're trying to do, and that's what we try to do here as well. Calm down the body, and then calm, don't stop being to be involved in all the mental activity, and learning to let it calm down all by itself. All the best teachers I've gotten my advice from are saying the same thing. You cannot, it's impossible to make your mind peaceful. If you try to make your mind peaceful, you're doing it. You're making more waves. It's just like this bathtub again. You're sitting looking at this bathtub and you see the waves are getting smaller and smaller. But then you put your hand in and you want to kind of pat down the waves, and by doing that you're adding more waves. So it's just by being really, really passive, and then this is a completely natural process, and it really, really, really works. But the thing is, we are so conditioned through our whole life to do everything, to make everything, to make happiness. And it's so difficult to stop that and to rest. So that is what we're trying to teach. Was that okay? Answer? Yeah, good. Yeah.
Excuse me. I got confused.
Yeah.
Sorry. We were meant to watch the thoughts arises and disappears once the body calms down and peace.
Yeah, yeah.
But then when all these different images, like the 4-year-old out of the bath and the dancing girl, I find I see myself coming, but then there's no image I need to process, so I get distracted.
Yeah. What you're saying is that you're trying to calm down, but then you're adding this image into yourself, which then disturbs the process in itself. Yeah, this is true. The thing is, there is only one really, really, really important factor which really helps to calm you down, and that is joy. Some kind of energy. And that is something you can create yourself. It's like you have this reservoir of positive emotions, feelings, which you can add into your mind, which is a feeling. But to make that happen, often it's a good idea to have some kind of images which start that process, which creates those positive emotions in your mind, which will then counter the negative and will also help to calm down the mind. A good example is what we call metta meditation, in which is kind of just kindness. It's just kindness and friendship. well-wishing. And then you start by adding or creating images in your mind where you are doing kind things. You make your own little movie in your mind where you do really kind things. And because of that that imagining of doing kind things, kindness arises in your mind, and that again calms down your mind. It's like getting another tool to calm it down, but you need to find that tool first. So you can call it kindness, you can call it joy, you can call it energy, you can call it oomph, whatever you like to call it. That's a really, really, really powerful tool to calm down your mind. It's not necessary, absolutely. You can just blindly, for example, focus on your breath or focus on your body, and then everything will calm down. But if you are able to lift up positive emotions somehow, that also helps. It makes the process of calming down more effective. So I understand what you mean, but I was just trying to help you arouse some positive emotions, which also helps in itself.
I think that's really helpful when the mind actually is not calm. But what if you already see the emptiness in the mind, it's already calm and peaceful.
Yeah.
But then it's when adding the image in.
Yeah.
My question.
Yeah.
So that's actually, I was trying to whether see that as obstacles.
Yeah, okay. Both works. So you have to choose, and you can play around yourself. I got my first a few years ago. I was really trying to put effort into that we work kind of loving kindness meditation, and just sitting there and creating this inner story of me doing lots of kind things to everybody and everything. And at that time I didn't have any really, really good experience of what the real result of kindness. And I couldn't believe what happened to my mind. When I just got that kindness, that emotion of kindness and joy and caring, if that can dominate your mind, it has an immense impact on your mind, and it calms down everything else. But you don't need to. You can just kind of focus on kind of freedom or the breath or your body, and it will calm down. But adding a positive emotion is more effective, and honestly, it's much more fun. It's so much more fun. A mind which is full of delicious, really delicious feelings. So you just sit there and you have a feeling inside of you continuously, which is stronger than you probably ever known existed, which is just a pure feeling of goodness. And it's so fun to sit, and you can sit for hours because it's just fun to sit there. But it's not easy to do. So it's just it's the old way, you know, the old fashioned way. You just have to try and try, play around, find your way, try both, see what happens. When I started, I was just full on breath. I came from this rational, scientific background, having like an MBA, Master of Business Administration. Yeah. The rational man. So I came into this spiritual life like, I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. And I was just going to hold on to this breath until, wow, whatever what. It worked to a certain degree. I could calm down my mind. But my teacher really had to hammer me over many years until I've really got it that I have to start to develop positive emotions in your mind. And then everything becomes so much more fun and you go so much deeper, and that's when meditation gets really fun. And that's why monks can go on retreat for 3 months and we love it, because we can lift our mind into peace and harmony and joy and rapture. So we just sit there like, wah! Just happy hours after hours after hours. Okay.
Do you have any advice on chronic pain during meditation?
Physical. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, I do. But it's not easy.
Yeah. I was just thinking, for example, like trying to stay in that little energy field whilst I'm fidgeting all the time, and then I have to find a comfortable position. I come back.
Yeah.
It just seems like
your mind just goes
back to the beginning all the time.
Yeah, your mind goes to that pain.
Yeah.
And then you try to take it back to kind of some meditation, and you go out to the
yeah.
pain, and then go back and forth and back and forth. And
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand. Okay. I can give you two options. And I have done both. I can give you an example from my own life. Once I had a really bad headache. So just top here, burning pain. It was really bad, just continuously. And but this is something which is really difficult to do, and you really have to be focused, and it takes a long time. But what you can do is to put your attention on the pain and just stay on the pain. But what you will find is that your pain will calm down. And I can say one more thing which you probably will not believe, but this is something you can prove yourself if you manage to, those who manage to, and I have managed to do it myself. What you perceive as pain, physical pain, this is actually proven in science now. I don't have any references here, I just read it and my teacher said so as well. Physical pain, what you perceive as, I have this pain in my knee, for example, 90% of that is created by your mind, and 10% is real. But we are somehow conditioned into kind of expanding it. And maybe it's good for the body that you get, okay, you have a pain, you have to stop doing something, you have to heal it, something. But the reality, even though I know, I accept that people do not kind of believe this, but you can find yourself that what you perceive as physical pain is 90% created by your mind and 10% of your body itself. And by focusing on that pain and caring for it and playing with it and being with it, this 90% will slowly fade away. That if you have ill will towards it, I don't want to have pain, I don't want it to be this way, I hate it this way, you just make it worse. So then this 90% of the pain would just stay like that. But if you are tough and you really want and you have time, that is something you can play with. You stay with that pain, whatever it is. You put your attention, close your eyes, lie down, sit down, and you be with that pain for a long time, and you try to arouse some kind of positivity again I was trying to play with this 5-year-old this evening about this mind state of your curious little kid. They have this fantastic, you know, I want to learn, I want to develop, I just want to. And that mindset is a positive mindset. It's a mindset which is growing. And if you can create deliberately, and that's something you can, if you can positively, like deliberately create feelings, emotions which are positive, and you can direct that towards whatever it is, whether it's your knee or whatever it is, and you can just be with that and care for it and wish it all the well over a long time, I know that it can go down and down and down and down, but it's not easy. Okay? Okay. Please.
I listened to you saying about dancing in the rain.
Yeah.
And seeing the rainstorm as a difficulty you're having in your life.
Yep.
Something that's hard or painful.
Yep.
And to let it go.
Yep.
You need to be with it. So, and I've managed to do that to a point.
Yep, great.
But then with those images, sometimes some of those raindrops are pretty painful.
Yes.
Trying just to come back to the positive images sometimes.
Yes.
Is that the comfort zone you were talking about?
Yeah. And this is just what I said in the beginning. I wanted to give like a little warning in the beginning. Sometimes, whatever you're facing, whether it's something in your life, or it's something in your body, or something in your mind, if it's too tough, then it's maybe right to just go and seek your family and go to bed and sleep and find friends and kind of comfort, etc. And then somehow something will improve. But if you are, and as you kind of learn to handle some kind of problem, you will step by step become stronger. And the more you can stay with it and learn to dance with whatever it is, the more you can, you will extend this comfort zone into that area which you previously found so full of pain or problems, physically or mentally. And after a while, your zone will kind of stretch out there, and it will be easier and easier and easier to be there. You learn to handle it. But if you don't go there, if you don't try to expand your comfort zone out there to that problem or suffering or pain, you will not learn. You will not learn to be there and understand it and figure out where is it coming from. How can it go away? If you don't go there, you don't learn it. If you don't go to Paris, you don't learn what Paris is. And the same with life or meditation or pain. If you're tough enough, you can go there and you can learn. And do it step by step. Sometimes it's too big. You can't do it. Go to bed. Relax. Later on, maybe. Are we happy for tonight? Good. Done. Can you get up?
Thank you very much, Mimo. Very good. Thank you very much, and you're welcome back anytime. And thank you all for your questions.